WHAS.
All right, News Radio 840 WHAS. Make no mistake about it, our next guest is my favorite U.S. senator by a mile and my second favorite politician, of course.
Wait a minute.
Second only to Susan Tyler.
Oh, of course.
Is that bringing in right now, Senator Rand Paul? How are you, Senator?
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on. Quite well, other than I'm in the nation's capital, where the guys around me and the women around me are spending all kinds of money we don't have.
Good Lord, I want to talk about
that. It's like the
mall. Yeah, no kidding. I want to talk about that. But first, I want to talk about what you're doing today. And thanks for coming on. I found out, reached out. You were generous to come on. You got a press conference today with a few other U.S. senators. And what you're doing is you're going to bat, what every senator should do, go to bat for our U.S. military members that have been wronged by Fauci and Biden's mandates. Because of these mandates, thousands of troops have been discharged from the military just because they didn't want to take that damn vaccine. Talk about what's going on today, Senator Paul.
You know, I met one of them recently, a young Marine. Had served for a couple of years. He wanted to make a career as a Marine, and he was forced to leave because he had religious reasons for not wanting to take the vaccine. But it's not just religion or philosophy. There are actually medical reasons. I think it's malpractice to give vaccines to young males between the ages of 16 and 24. The studies bear this out. There's an increased risk of an inflammation of the heart for young adolescent males. It's been borne out in study after study. Many countries now are actually not recommending the vaccine unless you have significant health problems for males in this category. And so really, we've been sending, you know, we have some of our soldiers been in 16 years and we're discharging them. Think of the value and all the money we put into training somebody that's been in 16 years,
right?
And then we force them to leave. Everything about the mandate that they said, the reason for the mandate was, oh, they live in close quarters in barracks in times of war. This is to prevent them from spreading it to other people. Well, it turns out the vaccine does not prevent transmission, does not prevent spread. So any of the arguments for mandate are out the window. In addition, we now know that the age category, a lot of our military, probably 90% of our they are male, maybe 95%, and I'll bet you 90% of them are between the ages of 18 and 25.
Yeah.
And so what we're doing is we're mandating not just one, two, we're mandating three vaccines for these kids, and we're putting them at risk, and it just really makes no scientific sense, and it's an affront to these young men and women who are willing to put their lives on the line for their country that we're discharging them for simply exercising what they're supposedly fighting for, and that's our freedom of choice.
And it makes me mad. I mean, if you watch a liberal newscast, I try not to, but you'll see stories on manpower shortages in the military, on police shortages in major cities, crime increases, and they act like they don't know why. They're the problem.
Yeah, exactly. And so we're going to stand up today and we're telling them, we're putting them on notice. We're not going to vote to let them to get on to what's called the Defense Authorization Bill. And this is a bill that's come up every year for the last 40 years. And we have some people who have always voted for it. Lindsey Graham, who is with me on this, and he'll be appearing at this press conference at 2 o'clock. We'll probably have about 8 or 10 other members to say we will not vote to get on this bill unless we have a vote on trying to protect our service members. We want to get rid of the mandate, but we also want them to reinstate with back pay the people who have been forced out of the military because of this vaccine issue. And what amazes me is this isn't just a freedom issue, because sometimes when you're in the military, you just got to suck it up and obey the rules. This is one where the scientific evidence actually goes against the vaccine, where I think it should not be recommended, should not be mandated. And it's not just our military. Some of our elite universities are demanding 3, 4, or 5 vaccines for young kids. And that really, I think, is medical malpractice. But it's amazing that we've allowed this to happen. And we need to quit being sheep. We need to quit being lemmings. And we need to stand up and fight for our freedoms.
Kudos, by the way, on detaching Lindsey Graham from Herschel Walker for a couple of minutes. That was good. Good get.
Well, he, even though he's not here, he's telling me. I can see him telepathically telling me to say TeamHerschel.com, TeamHerschel.com, TeamHerschel.com.
Hey, real quick, Senator Paul, I just got a message from a Vietnam veteran, a friend of mine that I'm very dear friends with, Lane Goulet. He said, remember, Senator Paul was the only government official that met us when the honor flight touched down. He was on the honor flight with me this year, so I want to say thank you for that. Kind of want to shift gears for a second. I want to talk about the truth coming out. Elon Musk, he purchases Twitter, and he's starting to pull back the curtain. He's showing that, yeah, there is oppression on conservative speech, which we already knew about. Is the tide turning where truth is going to be Is the truth going to be restored at some point? You got Hunter Biden's laptop, you know, all the fake COVID mandates. Will the American public ever learn the truth?
You know, one thing we're going to find out about the origins of the COVID virus is that there's going to be an investigation and records will be subpoenaed and people will have to testify under oath. That's a given. The Republicans have taken over, and this is really important. And people say, oh, I'm an independent. I don't want investigations. That's so mean. This isn't about meanness. This is about trying to prevent another pandemic from occurring. This pandemic killed 1 million Americans approximately, and that's 0.3% of the public. They are monkeying around with superviruses that could kill 20% of the public. That'd be 60 million Americans, not 1 million dead, but 60 million dead. So we absolutely have to get to the bottom of this. And this is why I've been dogged and not stopped. I have continued and continue to push. But I've met with Jamie Comer, who's from Kentucky, and he's going to run the investigation, I think, on the House side. Jim Jordan's going to play an active part. I know both of them, and we've met. We've discussed the details. I'm providing them any information I can come up with. We're sharing information to try to get to the bottom of this. And if we can get to the bottom of this, at the very least, we'll bring public attention to it. But the conclusion will be this. The conclusion will be we need legislation that – it sets up an independent regulatory agency that oversees this kind of research. It can't be the people getting the money. So you can't have Fauci and his henchmen approving the for one of their other guys to get the money, and then they trade places and one guy's on the approval committee again. You can't have Fauci standing up and saying, well, yeah, we all said it wasn't gain of function, but it never went through the committee. It's like, who said it wasn't gain of function? When was the meeting? When was the discussion? Where are the records? So there's a great deal of scientific evidence, but there's also a growing number of scientists. I mean, I had three scientists testify about 2 months ago. One guy has 200 peer-reviewed papers, has taught for 30 years at Rutgers, is a full professor and head of an institute, has been a journal editor for 17 years. These are not just sort of come fly-by-night partisans. These are people who truly believe that we are risking civilization. The professor that I brought in from MIT wrote in the Washington Post that we are threatening civilization with this kind of research, and that there have to be parameters, there have to be rules, there have to be safeguards against this technology getting in the hands of our enemies, being used as a bioweapon, being accidentally released from labs. It amazes me that no Democrats seem to have been interested. 1 million people died,
right?
And they want you to stand 6 feet away and wear a mask and earmuffs, but they're not interested in we're trying to prevent this from happening again.
I think I speak for a lot of people, and I understand getting to the truth, and I want to see it. I really don't care about Hunter's laptop. I get it. Joe will just pardon him anyway. I'm concerned about border security. I'm concerned about fentanyl. I'm concerned about the economy. I'm concerned about gas prices, energy independence. Please don't make a January 6th spectacle of these investigations. I think people have worn thin of these sorts of things, even if led by Republicans.
I think that's a good point, and I'm pushing for a bipartisan investigation in the Senate. I don't control the Senate committee that I'm on. I'm the ranking minority member. So the only way there is an investigation in the Senate is if the Democrats agree. Now, one of the reasons why they might agree, I don't know that they will, but there's going to be a Republican investigation in the House. The Democrats have resisted it, and people say they want it to be bipartisan, but it's hard to be bipartisan if the other side's not willing to participate.
Right.
So the Republican-led one will be more partisan in the House, probably because the Democrats will refuse to participate. My goal, though, here is, and I've already approached the Democrat chairman of the committee that would investigate this, and I've given him the articles that talk about this that persuaded me. I've ordered and given them books that are incredibly revealing about how this virus originated. But I'm still hopeful that there will be a bipartisan investigation. The bottom line is we should all want to do this. A million people died, and the next time could be 10 times or 20 times worse. And it's a big mistake just to let this kind of research go on, not to mention the fact of having a discussion of whether or not we should be sharing this technology with totalitarian countries. I mean, that's the craziness of this. So the mice that we send over there that have human lungs in them, which is another story in and of itself.
Man.
They're hard to develop, but they're probably developed over a decade in our country. We've sent them. And when you have mice that have human lungs, you keep passing a virus through it until it readily adapts. It's natural selection. It is evolution, but you're forcing evolution by passing it through these animals over and over again. But you have to have humanized lungs in these. So it's an unusual immunologic creature that has been created in a laboratory, and we gave these to the Chinese. Shouldn't someone ask the question, should a totalitarian government, even though it was given to a civilian lab, we know that there are communications between their bioweapons labs and their civilian labs.
Of course.
We also know that nobody has perfect freedom over there. No scientist has freedom from the scrutiny of the Communist Party. So we know that this information would be shared. We don't know who exactly did it or how it was released. I still think it was an accident. But the fact that they will not release any data, they won't release any of the blood samples of the first people that were sick. They really didn't allow any investigations of the labs. Nobody got to look at the sewage water or look at the animals. Are there live animals in the lab? Are there live bats in there? There's conflicting reports. They say no. Dazak is this scientist from the U.S. who works with him, says no. But now there are evidence that they had bat cages. They had patents for bat cages. And there are pictures of this Dr. Shi with bats. You know, she's holding bats in the lab. And they said there weren't bats there. But, you know, that's how a virus would get to Wuhan. No bats live in Wuhan, apparently.
Wow.
They live 600 to 800 miles south of Wuhan. There may be some in the county, but they're not the kind of bats, these horseshoe bats that carry this disease. And so there's all kinds of evidence pointing this way. And it's amazing and boggles the mind that no one's wanted to investigate this. But you are right. The trick is investigating this and not making it look like the January 6th charade. But a regular committee is evenly split. In the Senate, you know, if we win the Georgia race, we'll be evenly split. If we lose the Georgia race, we'll be probably one seat less than the Democrats on my committee. But that's fairly evenly split. The January 6th committee was all Democrats and two Republicans that hated Trump. So there was nobody. There was no opposition on that. It was all basically one party. And it was an abuse of power. But you're all right. If the public thinks it's an abuse of power, they will discount the findings.
He is Senator Rand Paul, my favorite senator by a mile. One real quick question, because we're out of time. What did you get Speaker Pelosi as a retirement gift? Was it wind chimes? Was it candy? Was it flowers?
It was one of those signs you put on your desk that says, don't let the door hit you.
Hey, Senator Rand Paul, thanks for the work you're doing for Kentucky. Thank you for standing up for our U.S. military today at 2. We appreciate the time, sir.
Thank you, guys.
There you go, Senator Rand Paul.